Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Chad and Prather Show. To the point, there's so many things to get into. I want to tell you what I'm doing right now, and that is we've relaunched the soft launch. Everything at my age is a soft launch, trust me. But we've relaunched the old PratherTees.com website. It's our store. We're getting rid of a lot of old inventory to make room for some new stuff. For the last couple of years, I really haven't pushed a lot of t-shirts or hats. Just kind of sold them on the road and did what we could. We had 76forever.com. I wasn't real happy with the direction that thing was going, so we pulled that down. I think you guys deserve absolutely the best stuff, and I didn't feel like we were putting our best foot forward, so we pulled that down, and we're coming back to Prather Tees. You know, over the years selling t-shirts, I've sold t-shirts for 30 years. All the way back to the University of Georgia, I would walk around and get a box of t-shirts made, and I would walk around the University of Georgia campus with them thrown over my arm. And I would sell them to whoever wanted to buy them. It's so I could afford to get like one t-shirt made with about a dozen sizes. And we would, and back then we were all smaller, a little bit smaller. So we got smalls through extra larges. I think that's as high as we went. But anyway, we sold those t-shirts on campus. I did. I say we like I'm schizophrenic. I did it. And I've always loved t-shirts, you know that, and so we've been doing that, and I like to bring you the absolute best, but the best we've ever done is when we have it in-house. I've used Say I Won't Apparel as a distributor, I've used Duck Dynasty, I've used Bigley, same folks that do the Hodge Twins and Graham Allen right now, good friends, but it just wasn't a good business fit, and so we decided to part ways. That's the beauty of what I do, man. I part ways amicably with people. I've always said, if you got to set the business standards right up front, have an exit strategy, know going in what could go wrong, and then, you know, do business and disagree if you have to, but then come back as friends. That's the beauty of, that's something what we're missing in America, I can tell you that. You know, our country was founded by our founding fathers. They could disagree with each other. They could dialogue and they could debate. They could absolutely mortally hate each other. And then they could come back together and figure themselves out and put the betterment of the country and the Constitution back in place. Unless you're Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. That did not end well for Hamilton. That's a whole other story. Okay, so Ronna Romney McDaniel has been cast out once again. She was kicked out of the RNC as the head of the RNC, which was a good thing because, dear God, what a mess. I mean, the Republican Party in America is an absolute nightmare. We don't have anybody. I was on Sean Spicer's show yesterday. And the comment I made is, I said, there's no intestinal fortitude. You have a couple of people who are willing to be outspoken, but they're perceived as the crazies, and they're marginalized as such. I appreciate their voices. I love the boldness of Lauren Boebert or Matt Gaetz or Marjorie Taylor Greene. I appreciate certain folks like that. But again, they're always going to be labeled radicals. And so, as I've always said, if you label somebody, you put them in the box, you categorize them, you stick them off, and you don't have to deal with them anymore. That's not good. So here we are, like Mike Johnson, they passed this omnibus bill. $1.3 trillion? Dear God, that's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. The only redeeming thing in that bill was that Joe Biden has to sign a bill that makes sure that they can't fly pride flags at U.S. embassies across the globe. That goes to prove that they don't read the bills. The fact that they did that, and then the shock, the faux outrage that the LGBTQ, add whatever letter you want to the alphabet there, activist groups, I mean, they were losing their minds, but you just remind you, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, you're not reading the bills. But $1.3 trillion, I mean, that's highway robbery. I don't like that Mike Johnson passed that thing. I have hopes for Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. I do. I don't agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is saying, hey, let's pull him down. We don't have time for that crap right now. We don't have time for that. We have an election to win in November. What we need is leadership that the Congress, particularly the Republicans, and Mike Johnson, whoever's Speaker of the House, can rally around, because I think Mike Johnson will be an ally to Donald Trump, and I think as it trickles down, he will be a vocal proponent of what Donald Trump is doing. So I'm not opposed to Mike Johnson. Is he everything I want? No, but nobody there in Congress is. That's the truth. So here we are. They passed that bill. Ronna Romney McDaniel, who, of course, is gone just a few, well, I guess it's almost a month ago now, maybe 3 weeks, and they, you know, Laura Trump is the vice chairman. They brought Scott Pressler in. Incredible picks in regards to that, in my opinion. And Ronald Romney McDaniel goes over to NBC, and the leftist progressive media re-reads lost their ever-loving mind. Chuck Todd called out the NBC executives for having done that. I can't believe Chuck Todd today still has a job. That is simply something that is not done in that industry. When you have a hired guy like Chuck Todd, the executives at the top who make the decisions and ultimately make the decisions that make all the money that pays for assholes like Chuck Todd, when you call those executives out, typically you lose your job. I don't care if it's Hollywood. I don't care if it's the media. I don't care if it's radio. All of those things. You don't, if it's a player on a team, you don't call out the front office. You play the game. You go with their decisions. What's her name? Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. She called out the craziness of them hiring Ronald McDaniel, which, again, they perceive her as being a Republican conservative. She's not. But the fact that they see her as that should tell you how far left all of them are. It's a debacle. But she's been fired from NBC. Like, that's to me, Ronald Romney McDaniel has now been fired from NBC. I think she had a job that lasted 2 days. She was willing to call out January 6th, talk about it being such a horrible day. She just kowtowed to the leftist agenda in such a way to make sure that she had that $1 million paycheck. I don't even know what her contract was for, but you don't sign people like that for less than millions. And I'm sure she went home, popped a bottle of champagne. She was so excited to be a new NBC talking head. And she was willing to forego whatever conviction she might have ever had. And she'll be okay. Trust me, she's got money. She comes from it. So she'll be all right. But here's the thing. The fact that her job lasted less than a week is hilarious to me. What's the moral of the story, folks? The moral of the story is those people will eat you alive. It's a house of cards, man. And you go in there, you go into that den of vipers. And you think you're going to be one of them because you give them a little lip service, they will chew you up, spit you out, and you will be unemployed. And that's the story. So, you know, look for the Ronald McDaniel podcast coming to podcasts near you, whatever podcast service you use. It'll be Ronald Romney McDaniel very soon. So, and let's talk about that bridge. Let's don't talk about the bridge. I don't want to get into that because I'm going to wow you with something on that. And many of you won't be impressed with my wow factor, but I want to preach to you a little bit. So I'm going to hold it till the end. So I don't know what to think of this whole Trump thing. It was interesting that $450 million bond he had to put up before he was able to appeal this absolute I'm not going to say that word just because I don't want the pushback. I don't apologize for the word, but just damn. Just absolutely stupid. I was going to say retarded. This absolutely stupid ruling by this judge in New York. Letitia Adams is going after his properties. I said to Sean Spicer on his show yesterday, I said to him, as I tweeted a couple of weeks ago, I said, I guarantee you if Tish James could get her hands on a property that's owned by Donald Trump, the first thing they would do is open it up to illegal aliens and they would start housing them there. That to them would be the ultimate flex. That would be the ultimate slap in the face. That's what they want to do. Sean was beside himself. He's like, man, I can't believe I haven't thought of that. And I was like, yeah. He goes, my brain is rolling with that thing. That's what they would want to do. But I don't think it's going to happen. Now, I think we're within a day or two of her trying to make that effort. She's at least going to file the paperwork. I mean, if she could be on Realtor.com taking the virtual tour right now, I think that's what she'd be doing. But I don't think it's going to happen because Trump, they had that reduced, the bond reduced to $175 million. Now, that's a lot of money. Like, I could probably handle the rest of my life, the next 30 years or so, I could probably live off of the $175 million. That's a lot of money. But to a guy in the billions, I don't think that, you know, we toss numbers around, right? We toss millions, billions, trillions. We talk about the deficits. We don't even care about what they're doing, all this money. But Trump, of course, the deal goes, the stock goes through the roof, like grows like 60% in a day for Truth Social. Trump hits a windfall of billions, launches him into the top 500 richest men on the planet. That's insane. And so he comes out and does the press conference. They said, how do you intend to post the bond? He says, cash. I mean, you saw the meme. It's hilarious. He is the boss with stuff like this. And people go, I don't understand why they can't make anything stick to this guy. Well, there's a good chance you guys are full of shit. Like, there's a reason why stuff's not sticking to him, because you have these activist judges, these activist district attorneys, and you pull one string on their story and the whole deal unravels and comes apart. Thank God we still live in an America where there is a little bit of common sense out there, so that when it gets down the road, so Bernie Madoff, who literally was the biggest cheat in American history in terms of what he took Americans for in their money, millions, millions upon millions of dollars Bernie Madoff took Americans for, you know what his bond was? Who remembers? $10 million. $10 million. And Trump, who defrauded no one, who paid the banks back with interest to the point that the banks wanted to do more business with him, they're going to give him a $450 million bond? A victimless crime like that where the banks didn't even see where there was anything wrong with that? Didn't you see where they came out and they said that Mar-a-Lago was worth $18 million? They said Trump was lying when he says, and here's the deal, I'm going to be with Trump next week. I'm going to be in Mar-a-Lago. I'm going down there for Carrie Lake's victory fundraiser. Going to be there with Jim Brewer, Roseanne Barr, a few others. God, if I'm on stage when Donald Trump is sitting in the audience, I tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, Mr. President, I'll give you $18.5 right now. I'll give you cash. I guarantee you. That's funny. But first of all, I guarantee you, you couldn't buy Mar-a-Lago for $18 million. But that's what they wanted to value it at. Now, you're going to tell me that Hunter Biden's going to go out there and make $34 million off of blowing paint around on a canvas? Normally, he's snorting through a straw. This time, he was blowing through a straw to blow the paint around. And you're going to give, he's going to make, what, $30 million off of his paintings? Asinine. But then the girl comes out, the talking head on CNN comes out last week, and she talks about how Trump, if he's going to get his bond money, could sell Mar-a-Lago for $240 million. $240 million, people. What happened to the $18 million? What happened to the $18 million valuation? Stupid. Listen, I don't care if you like Trump or not. The common sense. I saw somebody on social media today who said, I don't like Trump, but I can't stand the double standards and the hypocrisy that everybody's doing from the left to the media to the courts that are doing to Donald Trump. It's absolutely stupid. Well, he deserves all, oh, come on, you can't name a single thing. What are you going to name that Donald Trump did? You can't name a single thing Donald Trump did to make you hate him this much. The fact that that guy was in public eye for, you know, 50 years, 60 years of his life, was revered, was loved, was the most rapt about guy. Everybody loved him. From Oprah to Snoop Dogg, you name it, to Jesse Jackson to Al Sharpton. Everybody loved Donald Trump. Everybody. And all of a sudden, the guy runs for office and suddenly he's public enemy number one. And you can't name one single thing that that little square box in your living room or the phone in your hand or the iPad or your computer, the little thing with little talky faces, didn't tell you to believe. You can't name one single thing. But I said, listen, I know Trump said some dumb things, but not to the point where you're going to put the guy out for a bond for $450 million. And he defrauded nobody. The banks got paid back with interest and they wanted more business. You tell me how that works out. I've told you before, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make sure that nobody ever comes along. Nobody ever comes along and says, we're going to buck the system. We're going to drain the swamp. We're going to go after permanent Washington. We're going to try to deal with this big government bullshit. Nobody's going to want to do that. Sean Spicer, again, he told me yesterday, he said he knows people in the Trump administration, and they've asked them, he asked them, he said, will you work for Trump again in the White House? And several people have said, I can't afford to do it. I have a life. I have expenses. It's going to cost me everything if I do that. Bingo. That's what they're going for. That's what they're dealing with. They want to make sure that people out there who have the means, who have the ability, who have the willingness to go out there and serve and are willing to buck the system will never do that ever again, because look at the price that Donald Trump had to pay. Oh, and trust me, that's the strategy. They would have done it with Ron DeSantis. They would have done it with any nominee that was out there. And if Ron DeSantis or whoever gets the nomination in 2028, I promise you they're going to do it again, because they've seen that the strategy works. and they're gaslighting the shit out of anybody. And I don't even believe the word gaslighting. I don't even think that. But what they're doing is they're psyoping everybody. They're putting those buzzwords in your head, and those people are believing it. $175 million, Trump says, I'm going to pay cash. He's got a windfall. I mean, who knows? There's estimates that he just made $6.2 billion. Damn. Well, if his daddy had not left him $1 million, then he wouldn't be a billionaire. I can give you $1,000 right now, and I guarantee you that you wouldn't bank $1 million off of it. Think about that. Everybody listen, for the most part, you got $1,000. Can you make $1 million with it? If you can't, if you don't know how to do that, you tell me how a guy can take $1 million and turn it into $1 billion. Can you take a dollar bill right now and turn it into $1,000? Do you know how to do that? So don't give me this bullshit that Trump was some trust fund baby. He had a silver spoon in his mouth and he made everything because his daddy left him gave him $1 million to invest. It's dumb. I'm drinking Woodford Reserve. It's good stuff. The bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Baltimore, Maryland. It's a beautiful bridge. It's a beautiful bridge. I don't know. It's not anymore, but sad situation. I've watched that video numerous times today. I woke up to it early this morning, watched it. I think it was around 1:30 Eastern time. Joe Biden, oddly enough, slurred around and said some weird stuff in his press conference today. He said that he went, you know, as a young man, he went over it numerous times by car and train. It's 6 miles from the closest train track. So once again, Joe's dementia, or he is just absolutely confusing that bridge with something else that he ever did. I don't know. Dementia's a weird bitch, but here's the thing. He said it, and that's a horrible deal. What's the girl from ESPN? What's the name? Jemele Hill. She went on Twitter today and said, suddenly everybody online is an expert about bridges. I commented and said, well, they probably know more than the current Secretary of Transportation. Pete Buttigieg doesn't have a damn clue. He didn't know anything. To him, everything, you know, highways, railways, bridges, tunnels, they're all racist. He said that in his press conference. You can go to my Twitter or my Instagram and see that video at Watch Chat. I posted it this morning. He's an idiot. Man, you got boats crashing into bridges. And I mean, that thing collapsed immediately. That's sad. It's tragic. I don't know how many people were on the bridge. I don't think that anybody knows at this point. I watched the thing slow down. I watched it where you could see the headlights going across the bridge. And I watched as it made impact and the collapse happened. And here's the thing. Like, I pray to God I'm right. I didn't see headlights going across, or at least from the vantage point, from the angle. I saw a bunch of headlights going across. And then when it hit, I didn't see headlights at the collapse. I pray to God that I'm right, that the casualties of that tragedy are less than what people are estimating. I still don't know. But I don't know. That's a major deal. That's a blow to not only a tragedy. This is a major deal, a major date. You got boats running into bridges. They're collapsing. You got airplanes. How many airline mishaps with like United Boeing Airlines just in the last 10 days have happened? I want to say it's like 6 or 7 in the last couple of weeks. I held my breath twice over the weekend as I was flying on Boeing airplanes. It's nerve-wracking, man. And again, I'm not saying that what happened with that bridge was a DEI incident. We don't know. We'll find out. I saw the thing. It lost power, gained power, lost power, gained power again. And by that point, it was too late. So I'm going to believe that this was an accident. It's weird, though, because, okay, so this was, I think, was it Singapore? A Singapore line that was a cargo ship? It was Asian. I think it was Singapore. And my brain slips me. I'm like Joe Biden right now. But Joe Biden comes out and says the U.S. government, the federal government, is going to pay for rebuilding that bridge. Why isn't the insurance of that freight line paying for the rebuilding of that bridge? Why is it that America has to pay for every damn thing? I don't understand. Why does that have to happen? Where's that money coming from? $1.3 trillion omnibus bill. You know, they want $65 billion going to Israel. They want it going to Ukraine. They're talking about, you know, Kamala Harris is cackling down there in Guatemala. Everywhere they go, they're promising money. Money, 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 money. I mean, my God, that's why I didn't join a fraternity in college. I don't want to pay to have friends. Apparently, that's what America does, you know. We just pay everybody to like us. And they don't. They don't. So anyway, Joe Biden has promised the federal government's going to rebuild that bridge. Forget the fact that that shipping company, the cargo company, should be the ones whose insurance is paying for it. But what are you going to do? That port is one of the largest ports, if not the largest port in America. It's where the automobiles come in. It's where our supply chain comes in. It's where, you know, manufacturing goods. It's where all these different things come in. Transportation supply, that's where it all comes in. And it's now closed. There's a bridge in the water. It's closed. I'm straining at the mental handcuffs that I have on my brain right now not to take this into serious conspiracy theory territory, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to exploit a tragedy with that. I'm just not. But golly, there's always questions, right? There's always questions. But here's what I think the deal is, okay? Just bear with me here. I'm gonna make a statement. I'm gonna take a shot of whiskey and then I'm gonna wax theological, okay? America is a nation that was founded upon biblical and divine principles. Our founding fathers, you can believe whatever revisionist history you want to, but our founding fathers truly believe that God's hand was on this nation. It's a miracle that we won the Revolutionary War. It's a miracle that we gained our independence. It's a miracle that something just short of inspired canon was written called the Constitution of the United States. Feeble men, young men, founded this country with an idea. And they knew that that idea was going to live and flourish as long as the people of America remained morally good. De Tocqueville said, America will be great as long as America is good. I'm paraphrasing. Folks, I'm telling you that America has ceased to be good. America has ceased to be good. America's not good anymore. Our government is corrupt. Our politicians are paid for. You and I are citizens. We're swine in the pen. That's all we are. We're fodder. That's all we are. We keep this thing afloat. Historically, we've aborted 1 million babies a year, sometimes more, sometimes less. We've confused our children. We've erased our history. We've forgotten who we are. We've denied our destiny. We've excluded God. We've mocked and blasphemed faith. We have ignored the principles that got us here. The idea of right and wrong has become open to interpretation. Absolute objective truth has become subjectively your truth. People can define themselves however they want. I had somebody today who said, well, Jesus was the first raging liberal. Well, first of all, I will say in this Holy Week as we head to Good Friday and Easter, stop interpreting Jesus according to your political party and your belief system, okay? Jesus was Jesus. Sometimes Jesus did things that you could appeal to and say, well, that was kind of liberal. Sometimes you could say that was pretty dadgum conservative. Like, for instance, when Jesus quoted Genesis 2 and talked about God created male and female and for them to come together, I would say that's a pretty conservative principle. Jesus would be arrested in Britain right now probably for mispronouncing or misgendering somebody. So there were a lot of conservative and a lot of liberal principles. But at the end of the day, I'm not trying to create Jesus in my image, okay? But I will say this. We've rejected the church. The church has gotten weak. The church, don't even think that I'm protecting or defending the church. The American church has gotten so disenchanted, disenfranchised, and powerless. Where they're more worried on Sunday morning. This Sunday morning, you're going to go to church. They're more interested in making sure the temperature is right, the fountains are flowing, and the coffee in the lobby is exactly how you like it. You're going to get, in many cases, a self-help motivational message that talks about how great you are on the inside and how good you could be if you just realized your potential, instead of telling you that you are an abject, frail sinner that is destined for hell if you don't repent and turn your life over to Jesus Christ. If you hear that message, then you're blessed. You're one of the few. Because there'll be people up there who will give you a watered-down gospel. They will not talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They will not talk about the transforming power of grace. They will not talk about the futility of sin. They will not talk about the condemnation of God's wrath. They will not talk about justice. They will not teach you that grace has a requirement, that mercy comes with a life change. They won't talk about that. They'll tell you that Jesus just accepts everybody. What was the Super Bowl commercial? He gets us. He gets us. Yeah, he gets you and then makes you change. That's the whole deal. There's people out there who need to realize that Jesus ain't taking all of you to heaven. There's certain parts he wants crucified. Pretty much all of it, and the stuff he recreates is the stuff he wants to keep. So if you're hearing that message on Sunday morning at your church, God bless you. I'm glad you are. But we've turned from the ways of God. We've turned from we've turned to wickedness. Our hearts have been hardened. We mock the things of faith. We mock the things of Scripture. As the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, he said, we run to iniquity. Our mouth speaks lies. Everything with our tongue and our feet, all of that stuff pursues after the rebelliousness against God. You turn your heart towards God, away from God. You turn your heart away from God long enough. And I'm just telling you, you will have consequences. Folks, our country is not only in a moral decline, we're in an infrastructure decline, we're in an economic decline, we're in a political decline, we're in a common sense decline. People can't think critically. We've erased, again, history. All of these things that we have rejected and just failed to embrace anymore. And so you know what happens? It'll happen to an individual. It'll also happen to a community of people. God turns you over to a debased and wicked mind. You will call the things that are bad, good. You'll call the things that are good, bad. And everything will become backwards. So when you see bridges collapsing and infrastructure falling and planes, and people's lives falling apart and a divorce rate of 60-some-odd% and unhappy people, unfulfilled, two jobs in every household, kids that don't know who they are and don't know their parents, people who have identity issues, things are falling apart in this country, and I'm telling you, it's because we are in the process of watching God's providential hand being taken off of us as a nation. You can scoff, you can laugh, but I'm telling you, you will learn one day that I am correct. God's providential hand being removed from this nation. God has brought us thus far on His principles, on His grace. It's not because we're anything special. We are sinful people too. We have our own flaws, our scars, and our sins as a nation. I am not telling you that there was any, but the foundations upon which this nation were built, there were men and there were women who came to this land and they consecrated it, sanctified it to be holy unto God, and God honored their wish. God honored their cry, their prayers. God honored them and He blessed them. And there were people who put God in the forefront of the decisions that they made in how this country was going to exist and continue. For whatever reason, in the will of God, He decided to bless that. And now, we've turned from that. For 30 years, at every election time, I have said, I pray that we do not get what we deserve. Because we've been on borrowed time for a long time. You may not like that. That is perfectly fine. But I love you guys, and I love you enough to tell you the truth. You say, whatever. You deal with it however you want to deal with it. As 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people are called by my name, will turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I'll heal their land. We got the biggest wildfires that have ever happened in the history of Texas that recently happened in the Panhandle. We got bridges falling. People can't travel. We got exorbitant prices on things. I mean, the fact that we have a president who stands in front of the American people and says that we have the strongest economy we've ever had and people can't afford milk and eggs. Call somebody that's an expert right now. Call somebody. Call your mortgage guy. Call your real estate agent. Call your broker. Call them up. Say, hey, do you think it's a good time right now for me to buy a house? Then get back to me on that answer. I'm not saying that God decided to collapse a bridge. But I'm telling you that if you take away the parameters of God's grace, calamity will ensue. There are consequences to your decisions. There are things that happen in the spiritual realm on a large global way. And I'm telling you, when God is removed from society, that society turns into absolute entropy, where things in motion tend to fall apart, versus the kingdom of God, whereby when you do things God's way, there is order and there is balance, and they tend to stick together. Do with it what you want to do with it, folks. Happy Easter. All right, praythertees.com. That's how we help pay for a lot of things. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be in Granbury, Texas. We're going to do some music on Friday night at Granbury Live, then in Waco at the Hippodrome. It's a tough weekend, you know, Easter weekend, to go out and do live shows, but we chose to do it. Some people want to go down and have a little fun. Waco at the Hippodrome. Next week, Jesse Payton and I will be at Goofy's in Canyon Lake. Tons more stuff coming. WatchChad.com is where all the fun stuff is. Don't forget, leave us a rating and a review. Share the show with your friends and your family. We appreciate you so much. Boy, I got to the point, then I belabored it, didn't I? So here we go. Thank you for tuning into these audio-only podcasts. I love you. God bless you. I will talk to you next time. Oh, by the way, if you missed the episode with Zeke Arkham last night, go and watch it. Zeke is a New York City cop. Incredible human being. Check him out. Also follow him on social media. Coming up, I got Anthony Russo. I got Jesse Payton. I've got Damani Felder is coming in. Hey, in a couple of weeks, my good buddy, the officer himself, Brandon Tatum, is flying in. He's going to sit here in the cave with me, and we're going to fix all the world's problems. So many cool guests that are coming. Check them out. Oh, man, I appreciate the support. I love you. God bless you. I will talk to you next time. Bye.